listening to another edition of Business Beat here on 90.5 WICN. I'm your host, Eric Grattan. I'm joined this evening by Kelsa Zareski, who is the president at Reliant Foundation. All right. Well, Kelsa, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to come into the studio tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So on Business Beat, we always like to give folks a little background as to who we're talking to and sort of the organizations they represent. So before we could talk about Reliant Foundation, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about your background and what sort of led you to get into this sort of field of work?
Sure. So I am a person who's local to Central Massachusetts. Went to school at Assumption College back in the day and was part of a family that was very involved in charity work and giving back to the community. So in my late 20s, I began my first role at a nonprofit. I was at Seven Hills Foundation.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed the work. I really enjoyed doing something that helped other people. And so for three decades now, I've been in the nonprofit sector in one role or another, mostly in the area of fundraising and grant making.
Mm-hmm. And so why Reliant Foundation specifically?
So what attracted me to Reliant Foundation, I had worked in a few different organizations that were focused on health one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And that really called to me that we were able to make a difference in a community or for a group of people in their overall health. And at the time that I started, it was actually Fallon Clinic Foundation back in 2008. We were working on childhood obesity. We were working on different issues that affected adolescents mostly.
Right.
And at some point along the way, we became Reliant Medical Group Foundation, and then who we are today, separated from all the medical institutions, we are Reliant Foundation. And we shifted our focus over the years to mental health and behavioral health. And I have to say that these last 10 years that we've been totally focused on that have been incredibly rewarding to see the impact that we're able to make on people's lives.
Yeah. And I know you just touched briefly a little bit on what Reliant Foundation was and is now. Can you just give folks a little background, a little context? Because we were talking a little bit off air earlier about sort of the changes in name and sort of mission and things like that.
Yeah. So the foundation has actually been around for a long time. It started in 1988. I think Dr. John Duggan was one of the leading founders of the organization. And it has always had a community-facing role on health of our community, health of patients.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, it may have changed focuses here and there. But for the last, I would say, 18 years, we've been really focused on grant making and connecting with other nonprofits. First of all, we are a nonprofit ourselves. And again, we are today totally separated from hospitals and medical groups.
Right.
But we are focused on community health.
And so what areas, I mean, again, we were talking about this a little bit before the interview started to be recorded, but sort of, you know, the mission of Reliant Foundation and sort of the areas of focus for these grants are around a few different areas that you had mentioned. Can you give folks a little idea of sort of what sort of areas grants would be given to on those areas of focus?
Yes, absolutely. So first of all, our mission, which is new this year because we just came out of strategic planning, our mission is advancing community health priorities through strategic philanthropy and collaboration. And then taking it one step further, our vision is to create healthy and connected communities in Central and Metro West Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Our focus areas for granting purposes and for all of those community connections revolve around children, adolescent, and young adult mental health,
mm-hmm.
behavioral health, and also helping individuals of all ages reach recovery from substance use disorder. Further, we want to reduce stigma around those issues because stigma is often one of those things that prevents people from seeking help.
Right. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. And we were talking a little bit about that again, sort of offline. And I was reading that you guys serve over 70 communities. You know, it's not just Worcester, but it's Central Massachusetts as well. How do you sort of assess or make, how do you approach the work? You know, are folks coming to you guys? You're saying these are the areas you want to help. We provide grants, you know, that help educate on XYZ. You know, what does that sort of process look like for the listeners to understand?
Yeah, so the way that we keep our ear to the ground in the in both Central Mass and Metro West is by participating and reading through community health assessments and surveys. So there are a number of organizations that are really committed to community health assessments happening every 3 years, and then community health improvement plans. Those are often run by area hospitals, or like in the case of Metro West, the Metro West Health Foundation. So there's a lot of data coming out of those organizations that's really informative to us. But in addition to looking through assessments and data and plans, I actually go and visit, along with some of my trustees, area nonprofits. And I hear directly from the people that they serve and the leaders of those organizations what the issues are, where the gaps are. Also, I have to give huge credit to our board of trustees, because we have community experts and health experts on our board who also will share with me the gaps that they're seeing that needed to be addressed in the community.
Is that part of how you are evaluating a grant application process, if you're able to talk about that process a little bit?
Yeah. So we have a fall deadline. It's October 9th this year.
Okay.
For proposals to come through. And they do need to be squarely in our focus areas, and they also have to be serving the towns that are on our service area map. So we do not grant outside of that area. We can be approached by a nonprofit. I love to have conversations with applicants before the deadline, whether that's email exchanges or Zooms or personal visits.
Right.
It's always nice to meet and understand what the needs are. From there, a proposal is sent in to us. Myself and our grants co-chairs meet many times and review all the applications. There could be as many as 100 applications.
Okay.
There could be, you know, as few as maybe 70, but I think that's the lowest. And then in the fall, our trustees, our full board, actually votes on the applications and who will get the final grant awards.
Okay.
So last year, as an example, though we gave just over $1 million, it went to 60 organizations. So we aren't able to always fund everyone, and not every application is a good fit.
Yeah. I know that you mentioned the areas of focus a little bit earlier. Are you able to give folks a little bit of a taste of what kind of organizations are seeking to get grants from Reliant Foundation?
Sure. So I can share with you some of the recent grant recipients.
Yeah.
Again, there's 60, so I won't read them all,
I promise. Right.
But an example might be Boys and Girls Club of Worcester or Metro West, where those are separate clubs, but they may have embedded mental health clinicians or licensed social workers working directly with the kiddos and the families and looking to see if there are any issues that they can help address right on site. Why that's important and why we would fund something like that is it really reduces stigma around mental health. It's sort of a non-traditional way to support kids and families and address some sometimes behavioral issues or mental health issues before they really get worse. So that's one example, is Boys and Girls Club. Another grantee would be Seven Hills Behavioral Health here in Worcester, or Doc Wayne out in Metro West, which delivers mental health counseling through a sports and coaching environment.
Oh, cool.
Really unique.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Up in Gardner, there's Gamma. They have the Roots program, which is farm-based therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is so cool that you can bring young people to a farm and talk through some things that you're kind of going through, using the animals as examples of, you know, what's going on in the situation, or
right.
as healers. Other great programs out there. Veterans Inc. has recovery programming for men and for women. They're incredible. They do so much both here in Worcester and in Shrewsbury. They even have an outreach van now, which we helped fund. So that's another great one. Revive of the USA is a movement-based therapy program for people in recovery. They're phenomenal, and they are probably at this point in almost like 50 sites across Massachusetts. So
right.
That's a little handful of who we fund.
Yes, and I know that Revive does, they have I think Wednesdays at the Y, the Greendale Y, Monday evenings, Thursday evenings. Yeah,
they do. So, and also a new grantee, Boston Bulldogs. The Boston Bulldogs Running Club is running here in Worcester on Lake Ave on Wednesday nights. And Revive coaches actually go and help coach some of the folks walking and running. And their goal is to run in a 5K. So that's another great group for us. It's a sober running club.
Right.
And we love their work.
That's very cool. And I know that we'll probably talk about this more as we continue this conversation. But why is educating and reducing stigma for mental health and substance abuse so important to you personally, but also to Reliant Foundation?
Well, I think everyone probably has examples in their friends and family group of folks who have either faced mental health challenges or have struggled with sobriety in one form or another. It's a really common issue. And I think the word that we need to get out there is you're not alone. The best thing we can do is talk about it and to try to surround each other with help and support. We reduce stigma around these issues every time we have conversations about it. And that's so important because stigma prevents people from getting help. And if we can just connect folks to services and also train our community on how to recognize some of the warning signs, I think our community will be a lot stronger, a lot healthier, and we will ultimately save lives.
Yeah. Are you seeing certain trends in those areas or certain areas of focus that seem to be coming up a lot in grant proposals?
Yeah, I would say right now that the mental health, anxiety and depression in young people is a huge issue. And also, you know, we're doing a lot of work right now in suicide prevention and awareness. It's an issue that sometimes people are afraid to talk about. We really need to talk about these issues together as a community and get those conversations going and help everyone understand what are the warning signs and how do we get someone to help.
Are there some things that, or I guess initiatives that Reliant Foundation has that help to educate folks on these certain areas?
So Reliant Foundation really relies heavily on our community partners that we're funding to help get that word out.
Right.
There are a couple unique things that we have partnered with in the last year. One of them is the screening of a film called Shattered Ice. And we've been bringing that film to area colleges and to communities to spark that conversation around mental health and suicide prevention. It is a very different way to go about what we do, but it's touching hundreds and hundreds of people. And then I feel like those individuals who have gone to the film and heard that conversation that follows it have gone home and had additional conversations. And we're getting entire communities to talk about some really important issues together.
Right.
And that's what needs to happen to get people to a healthier place.
Absolutely. And just to get that bug in their ear to get a person thinking about something they may not think about every day can help bring up that conversation, to your point, at the dinner table or with a classmate or with a colleague or with a friend, with anybody.
And you hear all too often that that folks feel isolated, lonely, or alone in that issue.
Right.
And I think the thing that I always hope will occur by having these conversations and by being on your radio show is to get that message out there that you are not alone.
Yeah.
And there are folks who are anxiously awaiting helping you and listening to you and hearing out what you're going through. I think that we're really lucky to have the 988 number out there. And we're lucky to have different organizations doing trainings for just regular folk like myself and like you, who we are not clinicians ourselves, but we are here to help people.
Absolutely. Continue on. We're going to have to take a short break, but we'll be right back. You've been listening to Business Beat here on 90.5 WICN. I've been speaking with Kelsa Zareski, who is the president at Reliant Foundation. We'll be right back. Good evening and welcome back. You've been listening to Business Beat here on 90.5 WICN. I'm your host, Eric Grattan, and I've been speaking with Kelsa Zareski, who is the president at Reliant Foundation. Kelsa, thank you again for coming in this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk some more about these issues that are affecting our community and some of the exciting events we're having coming up.
Yeah, so we were talking about that a little bit during the break, and it sounds like there's some exciting opportunities for folks to get involved and hear more about what's going on. So there's a 5K coming up in the fall. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
There is. I would love to. So on Saturday morning, October 3rd, there will be the Reliant Foundation 5K event. It's kicking off at 9:30 a.m. and it's for walkers and runners. It's taking place at Shore Park in Worcester, which is located right in between the Greendale Family Branch YMCA and Bancroft School. Those are our community partners, so they're helping us with parking and volunteering. It's a fun course. It goes around the outskirts of Indian Lake, and I think it's just enough of a challenge to really, you know, help you maybe if you set it as a personal goal to walk it or run it, know that it's a challenging course, but it's not impossible. I really feel like it's one of those courses that when you finish, you can feel really proud of the fact that you just finished that course without feeling overwhelmed by it. But the most important thing about that event is it brings together Reliant Foundation and a number of community partners. So dozens of nonprofits that are providing the services that we talked about will be there. And they will have resource tables. They will be running and walking with us. And it's an opportunity to really see our whole community coming together with folks of all ages, all abilities. Mm-hmm. It's a public event. We want everyone there. It's also the kickoff race of what we call the 5K for Good series, which starts with Reliant Foundation on October 3rd. It then heads to the Abby's House 5K, which happens 2 weeks later. And the grand finale is the Veterans Inc. 5K. So we're all also part of a great series.
Where can folks learn a little bit more information about registration and that sort of thing?
So you can register on Race Roster, raceroster.com, but you can also just go to our website. I think that might be easier, reliantfoundation.org, and just click on our events page and everything's right there.
Yeah, and assuming everyone listening is mostly tech savvy, I'm assuming if you just type it in somewhere, the information will pop up. And I think maybe I might even set that as a full-time goal for myself. So I'm glad to know that that's happening.
Thank you.
And the resource, there's that resource fair portion. What kind of organizations will be a part of that?
Yeah, so we're expecting to see tables from the Boston Bulldogs Running Club, the YMCA, I believe Seven Hills Foundation and Open Sky and Senior Connection
Very
will
cool.
all be there.
Yeah.
There might be a couple banks with tables there. Mm-hmm. You know, our sponsors, of course, they all can have tables and we're happy to have them. So it will be a sort of an eclectic group of community partners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who will all have tables there.
Yeah, so I hope to see some folks that are listening to Business Beat maybe there that day. And Kelso, you too. Maybe we'll run into you on the track.
Oh yeah, I'll be out there. Yeah. I'll be doing some combination of
running and walking. Yeah, I like to think I might be able to do the same thing. So we'll see where I am 2 months from now.
Yep.
So you know, obviously you're a community foundation. Like you said, you grant quite a few throughout your regular year. And, you know, we talked about stigma around mental health and substance use. And, you know, when you're talking about those areas, when one is talking about those areas, there's always another area for need or area for improvement. What are some needs in the community that you think people may not be seeing or talking about enough besides, you know, the topic of stigma around these two areas?
Yeah, I think generally communities are afraid to talk about mental health and suicide. It's an area that can frighten some people. Mm-hmm. It's in some cultures, it's not accepted to speak about it. And yet, when you can talk about mental well-being and how you are doing as a whole, not just your body but your mind as well, it really makes things better. And that has been proven in so many studies over many, many decades, that talking about it can help. And I think, you know, right now I'm reading a book called The Anxious Generation. I think that we are facing a lot of anxiety right now in our young people. And that is another thing we need to talk about as a community. Why is this generation so anxious? What is social media doing to drive some of that? And how can we find positive outlets to settle ourselves down and find peace on a daily basis?
Yeah, I mean, for what it's worth, I think a lot of it is just around the information overload that everyone has access to every single day just by picking up their phone. Yeah. We don't have to seek individual sources to find different types of information like you had to even 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Everything's at our fingertips now. So there's like this overconsumption of information, and whether we're fully capable of taking it all in at once or just seeing it and it going in one ear out the other, or just scrolling up to the next thing, the next content, you know, there's a lot we're taking in every day. And I think that's can be a total sensory overload for a lot of people.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think just giving yourself some downtime and shutting off the screens can be so healthy. And yeah. I, you know, while I'm not a clinician, I feel like you don't need to be a clinician to know that when you put down the phone and you shut it off, maybe you go for a walk.
Yeah.
You just feel better.
Yeah. I 100%. Even though my phone is on me when I do a walk in the morning, it's not out in front of me. It's just the music in my ears. And I feel like that's the closest I can get to like carrying a Walkman with me,
yeah,
or like a cassette player or everything. But yeah, there's not that overstimulation of scrolling through a LinkedIn or a Facebook or Instagram,
yeah,
while trying to do the thing that's supposed to help clear your mind and reset your day or your evening, depending on when you exercise.
Yeah. And I do think that movement therapy is really something that we need to look into more too. I think that is another topic maybe not presented often enough, as how moving your body can help make you feel better.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times like folks think it means you have to go to like CrossFit or you have to be in the gym lifting weights or doing something really strenuous, when it really can just be a simple walk.
Yes.
At whatever pace you want to take the walk.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's there are so many positive things that you can do to calm your mind and improve your body. Going for a walk is certainly one of them. Cooking, meditating, mm-hmm, reading, things that are away from a screen,
yeah,
are real positive outlets.
Yeah. What's that expression that's like move a muscle, change a thought?
Oh, that's Revive. Revive of the USA.
Yeah.
They say, yeah, move a muscle, move a thought.
Yeah. Yeah. And I totally agree. You know, if you're stuck, if we're talking, getting a little into mental health speak, you know, if you're stuck in sort of, you know, a rut or having a moment, I think just doing any sort of thing, even if it's around the house or leaving, that helps sort of change your mindset and shift focus,
right,
hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, what I hope gets out today is that there are a lot of community resources out there, and it's just a matter of getting connected with them, and to know that you're not alone, to know that there is a lot of support and that more people are talking about this. And I think that as a community, if we can come together, mm-hmm, we will all be healthier in body and mind.
Yeah, 100%, especially if we're all valuing the same things. And kind of switch gears a little bit as we sort of wrap up the second part of our conversation, not quite, but with a few more minutes. You know, Worcester and Worcester County has changed dramatically, you know, over the past decade and always. What, you know, how does this sort of affect, you know, the needs that you see for the foundation, or how does that sort of affect it, how you work within the community, if that question makes sense?
Yeah, I think, you know, Worcester really has changed dramatically, I think in a very good way.
Right.
One of the biggest opportunities that we have, I think, to connect with one another is probably through Polar Park and the WUSOX organization. I know for us, being a mental health and a recovery focused organization, we've been able to work with the WUSOX over the, you know, since they came, mm-hmm, to have mental health awareness days, to have recovery awareness days,
yeah, very
overdose
cool
awareness. And it's an opportunity to get in front of thousands of people. And really, Worcester did not have that before, not in that way. So, you know, the sports teams, whether it's our, you know, our local hockey team or baseball or other, there are a number of organizations that help us get those important messages out in front of thousands of people. But then we've also got great institutions like the Hanover Theater, the art museums, everywhere across Worcester's community map. I feel like there are opportunities where we can share important messages together. And that is stronger today than ever before.
Yeah. And these organizations are valuing, you know, mental health education and substance abuse education, mm-hmm, I think more than ever, because to, you know, to your point, to what, you know, what part of the mission is to educate folks on this stuff and to make them feel like they're in a place where they can talk about these things openly with the right people and with the resources that are provided to them.
Yeah, and I think too in Worcester and in this Central Mass area, we have such a great collection of colleges and universities. And believe me when I tell you, they are all talking about this issue right now.
Yeah.
They reach out to us. They reach out to movies like Shattered Ice to see if we can have film screenings on campus. And they, too, are looking to support their student body, their faculty and staff, and make sure that we are taking care of the whole student, not just cracking open a book, but making
right.
sure that that student is fully okay.
Right. And thinking about the future and thinking about students and young people coming into Worcester, you know, what sort of trends in philanthropy or community health do you think will be a bigger topic of conversation, you know, in 5 years or so? At least in your experience, opinion.
It's hard to have that crystal ball, right?
I know.
To think about what things will look like 5 years from now. But I do think that we're building a lot of resources locally right now in not only educational or nonprofit institutions, but even in our local businesses to make sure that individuals feel fully supported and able to talk to people without that stigma.
Yeah, I think just instead of a person feeling stuck maybe in a place, they'll feel more prepared to be able to address whatever they're going through.
Yeah, I think it's more commonplace now to say, you know, listen, I need some help or I need a mental health day. I need some support.
Absolutely.
And that is the bravest thing that you could possibly do if you are facing an issue.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think a lot of, you know, big companies, big and small, nonprofits and for-profits are slowly but surely getting to a place where they're able to provide those resources. And they make it very present even during an onboarding process that mm-hmm. working here, if you have X, Y, or Z issue, these resources are available for you without a penalty or risk of losing your job. Yeah. I mean, FMLA is I think the only other state that offers something very similar is California and maybe one or two others.
Yeah.
But that time off to focus on mental health or a substance abuse issue is very important.
Yep.
You know, you've been at Reliant Foundation for a little bit, you were saying.
Yeah.
What would you love your legacy to be or a takeaway or folks to say, oh my gosh, when Kelsa was here, she did this so well?
So, I mean, I always think of it as a team. So it's certainly not me, but it's more the people that I've been able to bring together to do this work alongside me. Reliant Foundation has given me personally and professionally the opportunity to make a difference in people's lives, and I don't take that for granted. I get up every day and know that the work that we're doing and the partnerships we're creating in this community is making it better for everyone. So I look at it from a team approach. I think that we've assembled a great team, a great board. We have a new business leaders council that I'm really proud of and a tremendous staff on hand. It's a small but mighty team with myself, Jennifer, and Marlene at the Reliant Foundation offices. And together, I think my legacy is that together, all of us are really making a difference in people's lives. We're reducing stigma around some really serious health issues.
Absolutely.
And I hope that, you know, folks hear this and know that we've been able to put millions of dollars into the nonprofit resources that are out there to better support our kids, better support our young adults, and better support our adults who are doing something really remarkable, reaching for recovery, who need that help.
Yeah. I really appreciate you coming to the studio tonight. It's been really nice to talk to you about all the work you all are doing at Reliant Foundation.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. I've been speaking with Kelsa Zareski, who's the president at Reliant Foundation. This is Business Beat, and I'm your host, Eric Grattan. Thank you again for tuning in this evening on WICN right here in the heart of Worcester, 90.5.